The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Today FM. Now, for almost generations at this stage in this country, of young parents have struggled with childminding costs. It has been extremely expensive to get children into creches in situations where parents need to go and work or to have somebody come and mind children in your own home. And it is now becoming increasingly an issue again, particularly as many parents who might have been working from home during the pandemic over the last 18 months and have been dealing with the childminding issues while at home are now being required to return to their workplace and are finding that it is very difficult to find somebody to look after their children or to do it on a part-time basis, particularly if they're required to return to the workplace on a part-time basis and then work from home. We have two guests with us. We have Elaine Dunn from the Federation of Early Childhood Providers. And let's start with Dr. Sheila Garrity, lecturer in early childhood studies at the UNESCO Child and Family Research Centre in NUIG. And Sheila, I'll get to Elaine's in a moment in relation to the problems that the providers are having in having enough staff. But how much of an issue do you think is it likely to be for people now returning to work and finding that the flexibility that they may be required to enter into with their employer is not something that will correlate with what their creche will be able to provide?
Good afternoon, Matt. Thanks for having me on. And, you know, I've been coming on your program probably for 4 or 5 years now, and every time we're talking about a crisis, one aspect of the crisis or another. And, you know, February 2020, I was on the program the day of the big march in Dublin where 30,000 people were saying we need high-quality funding for to be able to provide a high-quality system. And I think what's happening is we may be witnessing the collapse of a 30-year experiment we've had in relying on the private marketplace to provide a vital public service. You know, providers are not able to be flexible as much as they might want to be because the funding model that we have is broken. It doesn't meet the needs of families. It doesn't meet the needs of providers. And it requires early childhood educators to work for poverty wages. Over the COVID period, you know, when we tried to reopen society, we all, you know, these new terms that we're all working, using now, we only were able to reopen society when our earlier services were open. So that really highlighted for people who maybe previously weren't aware of how dependent we've become on high quality early childhood education and care, for parents to go out to work, for society to open, for our economy to open. You know, our economy needs high quality early childhood education and care, and this should be a vital service that's a public good. It should be a public service that we support, that we cherish. And if we had a publicly funded service, we would be able to have flexibility for families. It would be affordable. It would be accessible. It would be of high quality. And the providers and the early childhood educators would be a professional workforce that's valued and respected through professional paying conditions.
How much, Sheila, do you reckon that would cost as an additional investment by the state each year?
Well, I'm glad you used the term investment because it is an investment, and we see all the research shows us all the benefits of having a high-quality, affordable service. We in Ireland pay, we fund about 0.37% of our GDP towards early childhood education and care. The OECD average is 0.8%, so more than double what we spend is what the average is. UNICEF says to have a high-quality system, you should be investing 1%. Of GDP. So, you know, we're a third of what we should be doing. And UNICEF had a really interesting report this spring where they ranked countries based on their investment in early childhood education and care. We came out at 36 out of 41 countries that they looked at in the OECD. And, you know, people listening might be thinking, oh, it's those Scandinavian countries, you know, those socialist nirvana that are investing in high quality early childhood education and care. Portugal and Malta were in the top 15 countries in that UNICEF ranking. And what UNICEF is saying is it is all about public will. So, you know, Portugal and Malta, they're not that different from us. Traditional countries, small economies, small populations, they have realized that investing in early childhood education and care is a benefit to society. It has long-term paybacks. It has short-term paybacks. And I could list a whole range of areas, Matt, that it touches on. But we're really in the worst state I have seen the sector at this moment in time regarding staff turnover, staff shortage, services closing, and early childhood educators and providers just really feeling very stressed, very undervalued, and just beyond knowing what to do.
Listener comments. One says, if you're working from home, you're still working, so your children should still be in childcare, as if you're in the office. If you're working and minding children at the same time, then you're not doing either 100%. Both the children and work are losing out. Damien says, my wife is going back to work after having twins. I had to change careers from 20 years of hospitality management to do a driving job so we can keep the cost of childcare down. Plus, it's hard to get childcare at the weekends as well. There are lots of comments coming in relation to this, but an interesting one from Deborah in Galway. There's no staff shortage in childcare. There's a wage shortage. There are 81,000 people in the country with a minimum childcare qualification, but no one wants to work in the sector because 60% earn less than €12.30 per hour. We need wage investment of €75 million to be ring-fenced in the budget. Presumably that will come from the state, subsidies too, even the private care providers. Elaine Dunn from the Federation of Early Childhood Providers. Why aren't the wages for employees higher?
It's down to chronic underfunding and lack of sustainability for providers. And we've seen that since we have had the EWSS put in place for since last year, that the difference it has made to services and providers across the country. You know, we did a survey only there last week, and what came in was we had like 1,200 providers answered, and 63% of these providers have said that they are paying above the €12.40 for their staff at this time. I know that a lot of us go back and we look at the Pubble report, and the Pubble report was done in 2019. So we have seen wages coming up slightly, but it's not enough. We want a professional wage scale brought in here.
Sorry, Elaine, can I just check? Yeah. Because presumably any private operator is paying for accommodation costs, is paying insurance. What other major costs do they have on top of wages, which then essentially get passed on to the parents of the children who come in looking for care?
Okay, so you have your rents, you have your insurance, you have your rates, you have your staff wages, all of that comes in under that. You've got your food bills, you could be looking at staff uniforms, staff training,
electricity and heat.
Electricity, heat, all of that. Your telephones, everything comes in under that.
Okay, so that's, and that means that the price then ends up going up to the parents who are hard pressed to meet these particular costs if they're not getting some sort of support from the state to do so.
Okay, so yes, that does happen. But the reason that happens is because we've been chronically underfunded. The lack of investment in this sector for the last 11 years is absolutely unbelievable. You know, services are closing, providers are, and staff there. We are all overwhelmed at the moment. We are absolutely burnt out. And it's only that, you know, coming into the end of September. So, I mean, at the end of the day, this is down to government chronic underfunding for many, many years. So what we are looking for is for a proper investment in the proper, in a wage scale. There is a wage scale there that was done by CRAN and NCN called the Mercer pay scale. It is a really, really good professional pay scale. And we have put that in our budget submission to ask the government to please come in and do this. There is also the JLC that is coming down the road as well, which the Federation are hoping to have their seat on as well. You know, all of these things are coming on board. But the one thing we're not seeing is anything coming from the department. You know, when I ring or I send emails into the department regarding our staffing crisis, all I get back is, you know, we are looking at it, but there's no quick fix. But there is no quick fix. So what are we supposed to do? You know, we're here, we're trying to do our jobs. We can't get staff. We are scrambling for staff. So here we have a situation where the lack of investment has caused a lot of the degree-led people are now leaving our sector and they're going on to do other jobs. The department want quality. They want a degree-led sector. You're never going to get it when you're chronically underfunded.
But when
like
you
this.
Say chronically underfunded, what do you mean? Do you believe that the private providers should be getting some sort of additional subsidy from the state?
The parents, like, we get funding that comes in for the parents. So in the last 11 years, the ECHE scheme, that has only ever gone up by 7% in 11 years. Then you have the NCS, okay, that comes in. That's also another funding for parents, which changes all the time. You had CCSP that was there, that was looking after children in disadvantaged areas. That has now been pulled from those areas as well. Now I'm looking at three services are closing in Munster as we speak because of the lack of CCSP for these children. So 170 children are about to lose their places, and a whole load of staff are going to lose their jobs because of the scheme, the CCSP being pulled. And nobody is listening. We have been saying it. ACP have been saying it. All different groups have been saying it.
But our department doesn't listen. A lot of listeners want to know, are private providers making profits despite all of that?
We wouldn't be in business if we weren't making profits, but we're not making huge profits. And any profit that we are making at the moment, it goes back into the service to bring up quality. That's what we do. We bring up our quality. You have the average providers who want quality and do, and we have sustained our quality as much as we possibly can. But without our staff, we are nothing. Without those qualified people coming in our doors and working in our services, we have nothing. So if the government don't come in here and fund us correctly and fund the parents correctly for the children coming in, this is all going to fall apart, and it is falling apart. We are all on our knees at this point.
Listener says, I'm a private provider. I've had to cut my own wage to keep staff and give them the higher wage of €12 per hour. That money is the maximum I can give, and it's less than an unqualified store worker. I want more funding to pass it on to my staff, not to make money. I'm not in it for the money, and if I was, I'm in the wrong sector. To finish with you, Dr. Sheila Garrity, how much sympathy would you have with the private providers?
Well, I think that text is really telling. Within Ireland, we have all of our services are provided by private providers. Some of those are community-based, not-for-profit services, and all their money goes back into the service. Then we have a large cohort of people who have their own small service. They're in our local towns and villages. They very much operate in a community ethos. You know, they know all the children. They're so important to our community functioning. We're seeing a larger increase in services that are multi-site providers. And recently in Dublin in the spring, one of those multi-site providers put up their fees by 20% at a time when the state was funding services to an extent that they never had before because of the COVID concerns. And they were the only provider in the area, and so parents were really almost held to ransom. Research internationally about the movement of multi-site providers or chain providers into countries that have a market-based model of provision of early childhood education and care is really something we need to be looking at, because what that evidence is telling us is that where kind of chains get a foothold, they tend to have poorer paid staff, lower qualified staff. They tend to have exclusive enrollment policies so that the children with maybe additional needs and other challenges that they might be seeing are less likely to get a place in those services. So it's really a concern. I'd just like to point out Elaine raised the Joint Labour Commission, which is a really important element that has just been put in place. We also had through the summer and the spring a workforce development plan working group. We have a funding model working group. So the Department of Children is putting in place a lot of really important structures to help address the concerns that we have. But these won't have any impact on the sector if we don't get funding in this upcoming budget.
Thank you very much, Dr. Sheila Garrity from NUIG. Elaine Dunn from the Federation of Early Childhood Providers. Another listener says, our children's creche sent an email about raised fees yesterday. They said the reason was so they can pay their staff more. It's now €740 for 3 days, €1,050 for 5 days. That's for one child. I presume that's per month, 3 days per week in a month and 5 days per week in a month. It can hardly be for just 1 week. Many of us are now going to leave the creche and look for alternative childminders.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today.